Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love talking heart to heart about the wonderful works of God. God is good, and His life is available for all. He loves everybody so much, and it's just stunning how much God loves us. It never gets old. Every day He gives us a brand new day to operate and to He doesn't hold our past against us. Through His blood, He washed away all of our sins. And if we sin currently, He's ready to forgive us. He just wants us to get it right. And I want to get it right. I wouldn't want to live in any form of iniquity, whether it's by deception or on purpose. I want to get everything that I always say, everything that's not like God, it's got to go. Because the more I learn about God, the more I want to learn about Him. And His ways are so perfect. He's so generous in every way there is. And I'm always amazed at how things work. You know, I'm a mechanic by trade. And my job is to figure out how things work and why they don't. I'm the same way with the Lord. Now, the Lord put that in me. He made me. I'm His creation. And He designed me that way. That's probably why I'm good at fixing things. And I know as a mechanic, things don't have to be broke. They can work right. And so can we. If we do things God's way, if we take time and learn what He's saying, we can hear Him, and the things that's broken can be repaired. Fixed, made new. Not only that, we get to live like He does. The same principles that He built this universe is the same principles that He's teaching us to govern our lives. And it's amazing to me. It's very amazing how God does things. And anybody that lives any different is living beneath what God provided for them. They're living beneath their provisions, and they don't have to. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to live life in a frustrated way. You don't have to walk around upset with people. The easiest way to do it is to forgive them. You know, I said in an earlier broadcast how forgiving people who offended you frees you up to do what you have to do so that you can go forward in life. And it's a blessing. It's real. So I forgive people, you know, sincerely. And my goal is to walk in love with people according to 1 Peter chapter 1. And living in that kind of love restores relationships. It helps you to go forward in life and not backwards. It helps you to build people up and not tear them down. The enemy is always trying to give you the wrong advice, help you shape the wrong opinion about people. And that all he has is slander. Slander is the new murder. You know, if you slander people in your heart, you wish they were dead. It's wrong. But when you love God and you live with a greater purpose, and you do things the right way on purpose, you live with purpose, and it's a much better way to live. Now, last time we was talking about how the Holy Spirit, we ended the last website broadcast talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us to go forward, govern our lives. And I was going to get to the seven spirits of God. You know, remember back in Zechariah, Zechariah had the dream about the two olive trees and the seven lampstands. I revisit it. This is Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man is waking out of his sleep. See, the angel came to talk with him. He waked him because he passed out like they all do when you get in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of angels, they're so holy, you just drop. Anyway, verse 2. And said to me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps thereon, and the seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered, and I spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? Then I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Now watch this verse. I'm going to read that part again. And who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, saying unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. See, the oil flows through those pipes and they go into the lamps and they are lit. Now, he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The oil of the lamps, that's the seven manifested spirits of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, we read Isaiah last time. How in Isaiah 11, see, we read about that and we'll look at it again, but the Lord wants to, this is very important. These are the seven ways the Holy Spirit manifests himself to us. One spirit, seven manifestations, or seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. That's how the word is written. And in life, as Jesus went about doing things, those seven spirits of the Holy Spirit, they manifest in the way Jesus did things. All right, back to Isaiah 11. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon it. That's one. The Spirit of wisdom, that's two. And understanding, three. The spirit of counsel, four. And might, five. The spirit of knowledge, six. And of the fear of the Lord. Now you can see these seven manifestations in all of the ways that Jesus, when he answered the Pharisees, when he taught people, it was governed by these seven spirits. This is how he did it. Now verse 3 says, and he shall make, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Now, this is the way Jesus did it. This is also the way we should do it. we are remade by God to operate exactly like Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He made all of this possible, and through him we can do what he did. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us just like he guided his disciple. And the same seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit that operated in his life, they operated in the lives of the apostles. When you read the book of Acts and all the New Testament writings that were written after Jesus ascended. Now, Revelation gives us another fact. This is also looking at Jesus at the throne of God. Now, he's ascended. He's with the Father. Verse 1 says, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads gold crowns of gold. Now watch verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps. Of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. So the 7 lamps, they are the spirits of the 7 spirits of God. They are the 7 manifested spirits of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way we govern. See, the Pharisees would try to trip up Jesus, try to get him to say something so they could accuse him. They hated him. In other words, because they hated Jesus, they hated the pure word. They hated the intended meaning of the word of God. And they loved their false interpretation of the word of God. Because they said they loved God's word, but they hated the essence of God's word. See, Jesus was also the word of God before he became a man. He was called the Word of God. And the Word became flesh, according to St. John chapter 1. But when he manifested and came, they hated him. And only, according to Isaiah, only 10% of the Jews received him. According to Isaiah 6. At the end of chapter 6, it said a tenth will remain and be eaten. You know, they're like the substance of an oak tree. They remain, and the Lord received them. See, eaten, which means received. And the Lord spoke things in a mystery because he didn't want to give the wicked information. He still don't. In ministry, the Lord ministers to those who love him and want to know him. If they have a pure heart towards the word of God, they automatically activate the anointing of people that's around them. But when people bow up and they stiff neck, they don't want to repent, then the Holy Spirit stops. He don't talk to them. And he's limited what he'll have you say in their presence. And it'll be in a mystery. It'll be in a parable. So I've noticed how if you go to some churches, if they don't want the word and you try to give it to them, the joy of the Lord will come back to you. You can feel it. Because it's powerful. It went to do something. You tried to give it to them. They rejected it. It'll come back to you. And you'll feel like rejoicing. You won't know why. But when people want the word of God, and sometimes people are so clouded by deception, it takes an anointing to break that deception, then you can minister the word. And then the Holy Spirit will start feeding them what they can receive at that time. See, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, this is how he does it. The Holy Spirit is wonderful in the way he works. And I just can't get used to it. Everything he do just amazes me. Now, I know he's going to do something. I know when I'm a minister, he's going to do something. But I just don't get used to it. It's always refreshing. It always refreshes me. It's amazing. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Remember when John first saw Jesus, he said, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the earth. And he whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to unloose. And then he saw the Holy Spirit rest upon Jesus and remain. That word remain, he remained on him. And he came in the form of a dove. So that tells me that the Holy Spirit has the characteristics of a dove. A dove is a gentle bird. If a dove comes around you, you're a nice person. Because they don't do that. If a dove comes around, you're a real kind, hearted person. And he came and rested on Jesus and remained. Now, the Holy Spirit visits churches. He's in us. And he's upon us. But that don't mean we always act right. All right? When the Lord first started talking to me, I had been studying the word, and this time I was able to compose myself in order to ask him my questions. I had a lot of questions I wanted to ask. So I said, Lord, don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. I got questions I want to ask you. Because the Lord Jesus was talking to me. So I said, don't go nowhere. All right. He stayed and he answered my questions. Now, the fact is, he's always there, because Jesus said he'll never leave or forsake you. But he doesn't always manifest himself. And I learned that when I had the word in me, I had been studying 15 chapters a day for about 3 months, and I had a word base. I had something that he could relate to. So when he came, I didn't just fall out like I used to and can't think right. You know, I can't think to ask the questions that I would have, because you'd be so overwhelmed with his presence. But now that I had the word, I was able to think about the questions I always wanted to ask him. I said, next time I get in his presence, I'm going to ask him my questions. And I asked him hard questions, too. They weren't normal questions. They were things I really wanted to know. And I'm not going to tell you what they were. Maybe later the Holy Spirit will allow me to, but he answered me, and he asked me in a way I could receive. But he said, the point I'm trying to make is he's always there, but he doesn't always manifest himself. All right, now, when John saw the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus Christ, he came down in the form of a dove, in the character, like a dove. He rested on him and remained. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is there on him. And Jesus always spent time with the Father. And then he ministered. All right. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. He knew what to say. See, Jesus always, 100% of his ministry, he was in the strategy of the Holy Spirit. He went where God guided him to go. And he said what God gave him to say. He addressed the crowd. And when he spoke to them, his words, it taught them knowledge and wisdom. It taught them, he corrected them in a wise way. What he said, he gave them knowledge that helped them be corrected. And he gave them wisdom for the future. So they'll never go back to the old way of the Pharisee thinking. They'll never go back to idolatry if they stay in the path that Jesus set. All right, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding. When he taught the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, he brought people back to the heart of God's word, and he gave it to them in a way that they could easily receive it if they love God. The same manner that he loved, that he learned, and he taught them according to the stage. He taught them to love people, love others like they love themselves. That was never taught in those times, except for when he said it. Maybe a Pharisee or two that really loved God may have mentioned something. I can't count them out because God always have a remnant of people that come to knowledge and understanding and wisdom. But he was the first one recorded to say these things. And they said they never heard it on that wise. I mean, they just didn't. So he counseled them, the spirit of counsel. When they would come to him with the hard questions, he counseled them. When the rich young ruler ran to him, worshiping him, and wanted to know how to go to heaven, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus told him, and he kept the law. He was on the right track, but he had a problem. He trusted in his money. He looked to his money more than he looked to God. And Jesus said, sell all your possessions, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And the man walked away sad. He counseled him. If he had heeded his counsel, he would have found out. See, he never learned what's going to happen if you obey God, like most people don't. The word of God tells us what to do plain as day, but people put their own spin on it and do what they want to do. More than just take God at his word. But the people who take God at his word, they're going to find out that there's a wealth of greater actions that's going to happen. There's a wealth of knowledge behind it. When they take God's word as their own, speak it by their faith, because sometimes they're reluctant. And when you speak that I'm going to do this by your faith, it changes everything. And it gets the reluctance out of the way. When you get an agreement, when you say, I agree with this, I'm going to do it God's way. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That destroys the reluctance. And as you operate in God's word, you act on it and you speak it and you act on it, you're going to learn a wisdom that you could never learn any other way, even if somebody told you. It wouldn't be real to you. But when you say, I'm going to love people like God loved me. I'm going to share. That's what 1 Peter talks about. The concept is loving people the way God loved you, the way Jesus loved his church, the way the Father loves Jesus. It's the same thing. I'm going to love people the way God loved me. And to some, that's a tall order. But when you do it, there's a blessing. If I had to forget everything God ever taught me and choose one thing, it would be loving people. Because when he taught me to do that, it opened the door for me to learn other things in greater ways, with more understanding. Every time I operate in his way, I learned so much more. Now, I admit, I used to do some things reluctantly. I did it with an unclear mindset. But I spoke it. I did it because Jesus said do it. And then I got to a point, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter whether I like it or not. I found out that if I trust him, I'm going to be fine. And the more I love him and trust him and act on his word, the easier my life gets, the better it gets. And when he tells me about some danger, it's easy for me to believe him because it was easy for me to believe something that was difficult at one time. Now it's easy for me to believe something when I really need to be believing to save my life. God is good. He would never lead you astray. How can he? The 11 spirits of God, they're on your side. They're for you. And God loves us more than we love ourselves. How can I do worse if I take God at his word? I'm going to take God at his word and then do worse than I'm already doing. That's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Can't. Impossible. If you take God at his word, things will go right. And if the wrong people walk out of your life, you got promoted. Because they were there to destroy you anyway. And some people may get divorced because they love God and they walk in his way. And then the devil is going to laugh and say, see that, a preacher lied. You did it God's way and she left. Or to the wife, he left. And they gone. And they're going to be with somebody else and the preacher just lied to you. No, you got promoted. And I know divorce hurts, but you got promoted. They didn't mean you no good. If they hated the word of God enough to leave, you better off. With the seven spirits of God, we have the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon, and the seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You're complete in him. We are truly complete in the Lord. And when the devil leaves your life, you didn't lose anything. I don't care who it is. If people don't come around because you love God, and some people are going to stop coming around you if you do it right. I went to a holiness church. Holiness people can, you know, they believe all those rules, and those rules cause them to seem very obnoxious. Because, and I'm talking about the old way. In modern times, it's different. But back in the 80s, when I went to the Holiness Church, the women had to dress a certain way. And it caused a lot of problems in their relationships. You know, they wear dresses all the time. And then they bragged about how you don't supposed to wear pants. And it became the focus, the rules and the commandments of men that were not of God had nothing to do with the Bible. Had nothing to do with the heart of God. But those rules changed the focus from the innocence of the Holy Spirit to keeping laws that meant nothing. And the enemy, it was a trick of the devil, because he don't want people learning about the seven spirits of God. So, but when you operate according to the essence of God's word, not the spin that men put on, not the laws and rules and regulations, the church bylaws and foolishness like that, but when you do the word of God the way it is, you live a holy life, a pure life. You're kind towards people. You love people like God love you. Some people are going to hate it, and they're not going to want to be around it. It's going to make them uncomfortable. They want to tell dirty jokes. They're excited about the world, and you just don't fit their bill no more. Jesus said, count up the cost. Well, that's the cost. Either you're going to be on God's side or the world's side. And if you choose God, some people are going to leave. You're going to have friends, they care about you, but they're going to stop coming around. It's family members the same way. Anybody that loves the world, they're going to quit coming around you. And it'll get to the point they won't be drugged to where you are. Nobody going to make them go. And if they do come around, they ain't going to stay long. They're not going to sit on the couch. They're going to stand up, talk a while, and leave. But that's all right. You still got the seven spirits of God with you. And God, he'll grant you with true friends, people that love you, people that care about you, people that will pray with you and gain answers and go forward. See, before Jesus returned, there's going to be a great falling away. A lot of people came to God on false pretense. And they went off track because they loved the world. They didn't learn to hate the wickedness of the world. Hating the world is not something that you can leave to happenstance. You can't leave it to chance. I hate the world on purpose. I can't say, well, the world, you know, I'll just leave it alone and it'll be all, you know, I won't think about it. I'll try to forget it. But occasionally I look over there at the world. You know, I miss going to those parties or whatever. Some people, you know, people look back too much. I'm not talking, you know, the world system is this. I like simple. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. As I study the Word of God, the Word of God, you know, is that you see better concepts. You see more light. And that loving God helps you to see what's of God and what's not of God. And as you gain an appetite for the Word of God, it comes to you in the form of a dove. And if you want the things of God, if you desire it, you get more. So what happens to your appetite? The things that make you laugh and smile, and those are the things you desire, they're found in the Word of God, in the ways of God. The beautiful life of God appeals to you more than the nasty life of the world. The nasty ways of the world. The world is dead. It's not life. And you begin to see, hey, the world is dead. This is a dead end. Everything in the world, if you got to have this, and you got to have, you're driven with things, and you can't be happy till you get this thing, this car, this house. It's got to be this way. It's got to be that way. And you can't be content on the inside. Where is that going to leave you? When you attain those things, it's going to become meaningless, and you're going to want something greater. And it never stops. Same thing with lust. It never stops. It's always a pull to, it's a downward pull.